We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Wednesday, November 1st. We'll be taking a look at the NFL Week 9 slate. Give me a little bit of a first look, a little bit of a preview. Hit that thumbs up button. First thing in the door, give me those thummy thumbs. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to always know when we go live. Joining me for this, now it's November. We're going to get daylight savings time. So everyone has to remember when you wake up in the morning, you know, it's going to be, this is the better, Alex, this is the better version of daylight savings time for two reasons. You get an extra hour of sleep. And if you screw it up and forget that it's daylight savings time, the worst case scenario is that you'll submit your lineups an hour too early. And it just gives you an extra hour of time. The other way, when back in the spring equinox, if you forget about daylight savings time, you wake up and you realize that lock already happened, right? So this is the good version of daylight savings time, right?
So I have three kids, and they're going to wake up no matter what. And after an hour of being awake, someone's going to wake me up asking for food. So by around, instead of 7 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, they're going to ask me, like, hey, can I have a yogurt? And I'm like, yeah, go get a yogurt. And then I'm just going to be awake because they just woke me up asking for a yogurt.
Why don't you just leave the yogurt out? They can't just get it themselves?
No, they can get it themselves. It's in the fridge. I mean, you can't leave yogurt out overnight. It's kind of...
But I'm just saying, did they have to wake you up to ask for yogurt? You run that strict
to
the
household? No, they don't. They don't have to at all. Trust me, when they want Cheez-Its, this is the thing, when they want Cheez-Its at 6 o'clock in the morning, they don't wake us up and ask. They just get some Cheez-Its.
Right. The things that they're not supposed to eat in the morning.
Exactly.
They'll eat that. Right.
That black bag behind me is full of candy, and I've got it hidden in my office. I'm going to have to move it around. It's like I'm in Mossad moving a high asset around the country. I'm going to have to move this thing around the house because they're going to find it.
You should put a sign on your bed. Eat whatever you want. Right. Yeah. That's always
Sign
the answer.
Jordan.
You're going to come in and ask, can I have the yogurt? Eat whatever you want. Just don't wake me up.
Sign Uncle Jordan.
Here's something that I don't want. This week 9 NFL slate. Boy, we've been saying these slates were bad with bad games for a while, but I think this one takes the cake because at least this last week we had 13 games. Now we only
last
10,
week you had. I was going to say, last week you had Miami at a 28. I think you had, KC at 27.5. I think you had the Ravens at 27.5 too, right? So you still had some teams that were supposed to blow up. Like, one of those three is going to blow up.
But
what's the highest total? 24 and a half?
It's 24. Yeah, I believe 24 and a half. It says a lot. The highest total on this slate, because obviously we have the Thursday night game. We have the Sunday Germany game. The Dolphins Chiefs game, that's not going to be on the slate.
Yeah.
The Bills Bengals Sunday night game and the Chargers Jets Monday night game. The highest total game on this slate is 46, and we have multiple games that are under 40 totals. The highest implied point total, like you mentioned, is the Eagles, 24.5. But the second highest is the Saints at 24.3. Then we have the Ravens at 24. The Colts at 23.8. And this is how bad of a slate this is. Okay? One of the higher end team totals are the Browns and the Patriots. Right? I mean, if we take a look at, we have this, this obviously this preview article, this is free, rotogrinders.com/NFL. So you could go, you could check our free preview stuff out. I got some projections loaded, initial ones into lineup HQ. I'll talk a little bit about Sim Labs in a little bit, but I mean, with Kendrick Bourne's torn ACL, right? I mean, you take a look at our projections. It never feels right. I know they're facing the Commanders at home. Some of the top values on the slate are like DeMario Douglas and Ramondre Stevenson. And then you look at also like the running back position. It's like, oh, great. The people that I love to play the most in DFS. What could go wrong playing Tony Pollard and Josh Jacobs in my lineup, right? Tony Pollard in a underdog matchup. And Josh Jacobs, it's the Raiders, and it's quite possible Garoppolo doesn't even start. I mean, McDaniels was literally fired overnight.
Yeah.
That's who you want to play
no
on.
Idea.
This slate is this bad that these are the better people on the slate to play.
And I mean, you talk about those two dangerous plays. Tony Pollard. The one thing that's interesting about Tony Pollard, I mean, it's not his, I think his yards per carry is like under 4. So he's got some bad luck going on. He's got the volume. Mike McCarthy will be down by 7 and still run the football. So we can't.
He was up by 23 and he was still throwing the football.
And he was up. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying it can happen. I don't know if it would happen. I don't feel good about it. But going back to who are we talking? Stevenson. Stevenson. I don't even know what to compare this guy to. I feel like I've had this feeling before about a running back where the projections keep telling me this is a great value, and then I play him, and then nothing happens, and the next week it's a great value, and nothing happens. Josh Jacobs, we don't know, because a lot of Josh Jacobs' volume was from the coaches, from the play calling from the coaches, and now this is going to change. How can we feel about spending, what is it? I mean, he's 6,900. It isn't terrible.
You're going to say that, Alex, you're going to say that about everyone on the slate, because it's not like we take a look at just salary. We have Cooper Kupp at 8,500, AJ Brown, 8,600. Like, we don't have a McCaffrey.
About to say, there really isn't like this huge opportunity cost in playing those higher projections. We're not giving up on McCaffrey in a great spot. We're not giving up on, you know, Derrick Henry in a 30 carry spot.
We're giving up Alvin Kamara at 8,100 against the Bears.
I'm not giving up Alvin Kamara against the Bears. What the projections are going to say as the week goes on, I'm not going to do it. The only, this is going to be in New Orleans, right? Is this in New Orleans?
It's a home game.
There's no freaking way he's going to be in my single entry lineup. I can just tell you that right now. This is the first time I'm looking at the slate with you, but it's the first thing that pops up at me. I mean, he's almost 3 points, 2 points better than Pollard. I'm looking at the flex rankings right now. I mean, he's way ahead of everyone.
No, we actually have currently
AJ Brown
projected a little higher.
Why is this? Oh, I have an X out. Well, Saquon Barkley, how do you want to feel about that?
I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about any of this, Alex. I mean, it comes down to you have it. They're all bad teams. I mean, like, the thing is that anyone you look at, it's like, oh, well, Barkley against the Raiders. It's like, well, Daniel Jones is probably going to be back, but like Saquon Barkley got like 36 touches, but only because they never threw the ball. Like, that doesn't mean anything. And then we got the Rashad Whites. and the DeMarcados and the Chuba Hubbards. It's like, are you excited about playing any of these guys that are cheap? Well, so in the running back position, I see a lot of options, but outside of Alvin Kamara is 8,100. So the only downgrade, the only down part of Kamara is that will he pay off his price tag? But I mean, if Carr is going to check the ball down 8 or 9 times a game, it's hard. It's hard for his floor to be bad. It's hard for me. Yet that I look at my lineup and it's hard for Kamara to tank it. It may not be good enough that like, oh, I win first in the GPP, but I feel like if I plug in Alvin Kamara at 8,100, that if I'm staring at a 14 point score, like, it's like, okay, at least he got 14 points. But I mean, some of these guys, I mean, Tony Pollard, the Cowboys won with 43 points and he had 5.5 fantasy points. Josh Jacobs, I mean, the Raiders could win and he could have
more
fantasy points. I mean, like these are guys that Barkley could have 6 fantasy points. It's just, it feels like out of all the Jonathan Taylor, it seems like he should be
doing good Panthers.
But is he gonna play more than half a game? Because like, look what happened last game. Like, you look at all this and go, I do not feel comfortable about any of these things. And the thing, Alex, is as a GPP player, I love that scenario. Right,
I'm fine with not feeling good about things.
Right, but the thing is that no one is gonna feel comfortable about anything. I like when people are overconfident about certain things, and then you take advantage of their discomfort. I feel this is the week where, like, people are going to look at their lineups, even in, like, cash games, and go, I could build 20 different lineups, and I'm not comfortable with any of them. I'm trying to find a difference between 7 different people to play in the spot, and I don't like any of them. It's just that I have to pick one of them, and it's going to be one of these 7, and hopefully I get it right, and there you go. And that's what I feel. Other than that's why I think Kamara, out of all the, I feel the most comfortable with Kamara, and I think that the field will as well. It's like, if they're going to pay up a running back, 8,100 Kamara, give it to me. And I think you could take a shot on any. I mean, dude, I think at every position, wide receiver, running back, even the quarterback stacks, I think it's only 10 games, but with these totals the way they are, like, I think this is one of the most open weeks of what, if you want to try some weird stuff, go ahead.
This is the week to try weird stuff because, and I'll ask you this about the psychology of the field. When there's a scarcity of, quote, great plays in the field's mind, I find that they tend to ignore ownership very often. And you see it in the Discord chat, like, yeah, but you can't go to this guy. There's only 2 good running backs on the slate. You got to play those 2 guys, you know, and that starts to catch like wildfire. And I think to that end, Jonathan Taylor's in a bit of a flowchart situation if people look at defense versus position. And I think Jonathan Taylor's going to push 20-25% unless something comes out where like they're definitely going to have a timeshare of some sort. But I think people are going to take the gamble on it because of the defense versus position.
No, I agree with you. What happens is that we're looking at the slate now on a Wednesday. So a lot of people aren't comfortable with what they're looking at. It's their first look. Right, that's the whole point of this show on Wednesday. It's just the first look. And as you look on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what many people are going to do is that they've looked at the same things over and over again. They've watched more shows, right? You're here on YouTube, click that subscribe button. And they're getting more validation of like, I'm not comfortable about any of these guys, but I'm the most comfortable about these 2 or 3. And that gets repeated. Right, exactly. Over and over and over again, that by Sunday morning, you're like, well, the only thing I'm sure of are these 3 running backs. So I'm going to play at least 1 or 2 of them. And what I'm saying is that you should question like everyone on like every game on this slate. There's a way for no matter what the total is. I don't care that the Patriots are favored. The Commanders could win this game by 35 points, right? I don't care that the Texans are at home and favored. Like this game could be 7-3, right? We can look at Atlanta, Minnesota, right? Kirk Cousins is gone. It's quite possible that the Vikings come out and just they beat Atlanta. I mean, like all of these games. Jordan Love doesn't look good, but they're playing the Rams, the Browns. Who knows? I mean, like the Cardinals are playing with like a third string quarterback now. The Saints are playing at home, and people are like, okay, I feel comfortable with the Saints. Like, do you really? When Taysom Hill has two rushing touchdowns, and you look at your Carl Olave lineups, like what happened there? Carolina against. Would you be shocked if Bryce Young to Adam Thielen was in the winning lineup? You could write a story about all of this. The Cowboys Eagles game, two good teams. You're like, well, I can't play the Eagles because the Cowboys defense is pretty good. Would you be shocked if AJ Brown had another 8 for 125 and two touchdown game? No. So, like, would you be shocked that CeeDee Lamb burned the Eagles defense? No. I mean, or no. Pollard has 100 yards rushing. I'm not shocked that there's so much parity amongst all these teams and all these players that, like, to me, it's almost like implied team total doesn't even matter on this slate anymore. I don't care. Well, the Patriots have a 22 implied team total. Do I really want to be playing Mac Jones? I play Mac Jones stacks more than anyone else. Do I really want to play into chalk Demario Davis, Douglas, and Devontae Parker or Juju, or just because the Patriots are cheap? Or Ramondre Stevenson when Zeke Elliott ends up getting 7 or 8 carries in the red zone? I mean, I don't know. I'm just going on a rant here. My first look on this, I want to just highlight how, like, if you're looking at this slate right now going, okay, I'm going to figure it all out right now. It's like, dude, you're not even going to have that feeling Sunday morning. Like, unless there's some weird news that happens that is unexpected, where CeeDee Lamb's out or AJ Brown is dead, you know, like something like that. He was found in a trunk of a car somewhere, right? Like, I look at this and I go, I could probably build 150 GPP lineups that have like 77 different players that all seem about the same to me, and I don't like any of them.
So I was going to say, this isn't the week where you have some pool of 18 players and just make 20 lineups based on those 18 players, because you're going to want to have unique lineups. And luckily, I mean, I'm interested to see what the simulations are going to say about all of this.
Let's mention that, Alex. We don't have the main slate. We don't have the main slate up. We'll be talking a little bit more about SimLabs tomorrow for the Titans Steelers showdown game. But you've been playing around with SimLabs for the main slates as well as showdown. But primarily, since we're talking about the Week 9 slate, 10-game main slate on DraftKings, we went over all of this. What exactly is SimLabs here at RotoGrinders with Chris Germino yesterday? So use that as a reference guide for all your questions. We have an FAQ. You can try this out for free tomorrow for showdown as well as for Sunday's main slate. That's rotogrinders.com/SimLabs. So, Alex, what are your general impressions of SimLabs and how you're using it?
Well, I'm going to use it this week in my single entry article because we can actually form different ownerships for different field sizes. And I thought, you know, that was my first question to Jimeno, you know, when we had the big call. It was like, so when I switch to large field, to small field, to single entry, and I click see results, am I going to see different ownerships for those situations? I said, you're going to see different situations. That changes the whole freaking game, because single entry, you're dealing with, you know, ownership is kind of an art form, relatively speaking, because you don't know, it could be 1.5 times their projected ownership, 2 times, 2.5 times, 3 times, depending on the situation. I don't have to guess that anymore. I don't have to eyeball that anymore. And I can give people more concrete numbers as to what a single entry field is going to look like. It changes my whole approach to that Friday article.
It also changes my approach. I use SimLabs last week's slate. I use it primarily as a research tool. So I don't use it necessarily even to like pick lineups or get certain lineups or anything. Yeah. I test theories. I would say something. So what I would do, I mean, I'm just making up an example right now because I don't know anything about this. I mean, we're just like very first look at the slate. And I'm just going to take a look at like some wide receivers or something like that. And it's like, Zay Flowers is showing up as a value, right? Obviously, again, at 5,700. We got the Texans wide receivers and stuff. Like, I would look at some of this stuff and go, okay, so it's Baltimore, Seattle. Like, if I do play a Lamar stack, let's say I play Lamar, Flowers, Andrews. How many, like, based on simulations of what we do here using the RotoGrinders projections, 10,000 simulations of the games, 10,000 simulations of the lineups, how many of these lineups actually contain a DK Metcalf? How many lineups actually contain a Tyler Lockett? Like, how often should I want to have more correlation? Should I want to have less correlation? Maybe I'm going to type in, I go into here. I know it's not for the main slate ready yet. I would just put in include like Lamar because he's the head of the stack and just run like for like, especially if I'm playing large field lineups. And I go, okay, give me a wide results range and just like show me 150 Lamar lineups. And I'm going to see how many have Zay? How many have Andrews? How many have them both? How many have Seattle players? And you can take a look and maybe out of the 150, I see a lot of mostly single stacks. Right? There are some Andrew Flowers.
Like 5 seconds ago. Just to let you know.
You're talking to me?
Okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Can you hear me, Alex?
It's restarted for some reason.
Okay. I think everyone else can hear me.
It was just my headphones restarted. So I kind of use Lineup HQ that way. I see where the optimizer is taking me in terms of certain combinations. And this comes from my background in baseball, of course. You know, I want to see what, like you said, what does a Lamar Zay Andrews lineup look like? What does a Lamar Zay who are they playing against? Seattle. What does a Lamar Zay Lockett lineup look like? What do those lineups look like? That's how I kind of look at candidate lineups.
Right, but the thing is, Alex, the thing, Alex, is that when you do that in Lineup HQ, you're just looking at what the solver is putting in as mean projections
it's
together.
Very wrong.
Right. It's not factoring in the three levers of DFS. The thing it's that not. Makes SimLabs special to say, and it goes with the teaching that I do in Theory of DFS, which you can pick up at theoryofdfs.com. And we also see a lot of the questions, Alex, in Discord in our SimLabs beta channel of people using this tool that are used to using Lineup HQ. And it's like The things that you were jury rigging together in Lineup HQ are unnecessary in SimLabs because it's already being taken into account. So yes,
so
I can go
into now. What I can do now is just plug in Lamar and I can play with the correlation and it's going to spit out the stacks with the run backs, maybe no run back, but you know, it's going to spit those lineups out at me and there's going to be a lot of diversity amongst the lineups. That's something that I've been really surprised with, seeing the amount of diversity you see, even when you have that unique tab on a little low, it's forming correlations, the unique and the correlation levers a little low. It's forming correlations exactly how, quote, like, I think I would want to build lineups, like, you know?
Well, because it's based on simulating the games in the contest. Yeah. So the thing is that when you use SimLabs, right, with the RotoGrinders projections, because they work in tandem with the RotoGrinders stuff, right? So if you're a premium member here, click on that link in the description, get $10 off your first month, is that, like, I don't have to set up this. Like, I could set up stack rules and say, oh, give me two guys and this guy back. And what's the ownership sum of the lineup and everything? Like, all of those things are already factored in. In our Discord, people are asking, it's like, oh, how do I exclude full teams? How do I put in stack types? It's like, it's showing you lineups that are based around that thing. Like, you shouldn't be viewing the tool. If you want to do that type of stuff, that's Lineup HQ. If you want to be able to go and for showdown tomorrow, like, look, we already have some of the showdown stuff up. Of course, the ownership isn't in. This is like a little bit of dummy data. Like, if you want to go in and just, like, set up, you know, I want, you know, make sure more correlation. How do you want to rate your lineups, right? These are all based through simulations. What type of field size? How diverse do you want to be? And you look through and you see line. It's like, here's like DeAndre Hopkins and captain and then five Steelers. You would look and go, this lineup doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, there's a game script where this simulation does work. There's a game script with Najee Harris and five. Like, these things do exist. The whole point is that you don't have to go in and go, I want 20% of Najee Harris captain. I want 10% of Derrick Henry. Like, the point of this tool is not to do that. The point of this tool is, hey, I want to take a look. I'm going to be playing five lineups in showdown in a large field. You know, let me take a look at 150 that the simulations say make sense to some degree, either from an ownership perspective, from a top 100 perspective, from a cash rate perspective, from a simulation perspective. And then you can be confident that if you trust the RotoGrinders projections, that these lineups are not bad lineups, that the lineups you're most likely getting are pretty good. And it highlights the point, Alex, that we've talked about on shows about game theory, is that the people get focused on absolutes so much, and they go, especially the larger the contest you get, people will show me their lineup and go, is this a good lineup? And I go, yeah. And they'll show me another lineup. I go, is that a good lineup? I said, yeah. Is this a good lineup? Yeah. Is that a good lineup? Yeah. I said, which lineup is better? I said, they're all fine. They're all like, so there's not one that's like, no, if anything, there's one that's like, maybe like a hair better than the other, maybe. And I don't even know, you'd have to precisely be able to go through and see if that's possible. But when I tell people on a 10 game main slate, like we have for week 9, that you're playing the Millie and you can probably play like 30,000 lineups that I would say are about equal to each other. Like, just literally about, like, it would be within reason that I wouldn't be able to tell the difference from expected value standpoint. Now, the smaller the contests get, maybe 5,000 lineups. And people are like, well, I'm only playing three. So I said, so as long as those three are part of that 5,000 set, you're fine.
You got a chance.
What three should I play? It's like, that's why you're using SimLabs, of like, it's weeding out the bad lineups. It's preventing you from making those mistakes. It's showing you lineups and giving you ratings so you don't build lineups. You go, I'm going to build this Eagles onslaught Cowboys stack and play two 4K backup running backs just to fit everything in.
And if the simulations tell you maybe you should just be one-offing from that game or single skinny stacking, then maybe you should be skinny stacking that game. And it doesn't, when the output comes out, let's say you want to try that onslaught, and you plug in three guys and you put up the correlation all the way up and you're getting a bunch of red bars when you get your threes and your 3-2 onslaught. Right. But then you get some good green bars on the CD and AJ Brown. You know, it tells you sometimes you're not directionally completely inaccurate, but you could go in this direction instead and have higher expected value.
Right. So that's how I use it as a research tool. Like, I will then use that in order to build lineups in Lineup HQ of like, okay, now that I figured that out, especially when I'm only playing 12 lineups, typically 10 to 12 lineups most week, it's like, I'm kind of sort of hand building them, but I'm doing it based around research from the simulations.
I wonder how people are going to react to the simulations. I'm just totally bloviating right here. I just looked at this slate for the first time. I feel like exposures among wide receivers and running backs are going to get spread out because there's no, like, there aren't like five or six great plays, and they're going to be under their projected ownership. And this is what I said earlier. I think people are going to gravitate toward the highest projection and ignore ownership because everyone's going to, quote, look under-owned. Because the simulations don't see what projected ownership is, like, in terms of factoring that into the what gets spit out. It's going to spit out the best simulated, the best finishes of the lineups in your top 150. So Tony Pollard might come in at 12% exposure. And then Alvin Kamara might come in at 18% exposure because it might be spreading it out because the plays are kind of evenly bad.
Right.
So whenever you see the plays are kind of, quote, evenly bad, I've just noticed this with other sims, you end up seeing these plays get, quote, under-owned, and I end up noticing that the highest projected one starts to skyrocket in actual ownership because people will just say, well, they're all under-owned by 4 or 5%. I'm just going to play the best play.
Right, and that's why like someone like Alvin Kamara could come in at like 30% on this slate when maybe
because it could coagulate up, right?
Right.
Like these guys could get it's pressed
same thing
down.
At wide receiver. I think people will go back to the well on Zay Flowers. I think people are comfortable playing the Texans wide receivers. They're going to project fine. Of course, these are guys that burned everyone last week. But people are – this is not a – like this slate doesn't contain players where it's like, well, they burned me last week, so I'm going to play this other guy. What other guy? You're gonna look and go, what am I gonna play? Darius Slayton? What am I gonna do? Am I playing people don't want to play Michael Thomas? I'm gonna play Drake London? Like you did this, you look at this slate and you go, well, who are you gonna play? Like Christian Watson? He's like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Michael Gallup again? Have him give me 3 points? I mean, do you want to play Amari Cooper with the Browns offense the way it is? No. I mean, so there's nowhere else to go. So I think people like clicking on, like, oh, well, Zay Flowers, his price didn't even move, right? Tank Dell, Nico Collins, their prices kind of, they're around the same. Josh Downs, right? Chris, the Saints have a good team total, and Chris Olave is down to 6,300. I can play him, right? Got to play one of the Patriots wide receivers, even though they're awful, and figure out which one to play, and that's fine, right? So you take a look, and people are comfortable. Terry McLaurin had a good game, 5,600. I'll play Terry McLaurin. Right? People will do that. And then A.J. Brown, it's like, how do you not play A.J. Brown? Right? Easy. Just lock him in. So you can see, even though we look here and the projections are really, I mean, there's no standouts. Like, nothing. Like the pricing efficiency is quite at equilibrium. I think the plays that I mentioned, the people, they're gonna be the ones. And I really think this is the type of slate. I think this may be the slate where the Millie winner has like a total ownership of like 60%. Like not like 120, sure. 140. Like this is that type of slate. And of course I say this, and you know what's going to end up happening?
Something to get hurt.
All the 30% owned, you know, over condensed ownership is like, oh, well, all those guys hit. And the Millie maker lineup is like some guy's cash lineup. It's like that type of thing.
Yeah,
but
Bryce Young's gonna slip and fall.
As a week that it shouldn't be that.
No, from the first look, and you know, we've kind of buried the lead here. It looks like the Ravens are gonna run away with ownership, and it might just end up being the Ravens and everyone else. The Houston guys are really cheap, so they'll catch some ownership too. But in terms of stacks, it's gonna be stack whoever you want. Are you seeing anything different from there?
I mean, I think people, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. I mean, to me, like people like those quarterbacks, so they'll find a way to stack those guys. But we may get Aiden O'Connell at 4,500. I say it every time with the Raiders. I mean, essentially, it's Jacobs, it's Adams, it's Myers. And if the Raiders put up 27 points, it's going to those people. And if you're going to tell me that I could pair that with a quarterback that's 4,500, double, I mean, just like all I need to hope for is that the Raiders actually put up points, right? It's like, it's very, you're not going to find, you know, the fourth wide receiver, not Hunter Renfrow. I mean, obviously their offense may change a bit with the, you know, with McDaniels out, but I don't think within a week, I don't think it's like something's like, oh, we're going to change everything completely around. But I want to pair Aiden O'Connell with Myers and Adams together, and just maybe even Michael Mayer or someone like at least I know if like the Raiders only put up 10 points, like I'm dead. Okay, that's fine. I'm just that if the Raiders actually do put up points, I'm not going to be watching Raiders on the red zone and going, who the hell is that guy that just caught the ball in the end zone? It's going to be one of these people.
And I still trust a guy in Aiden O'Connell's position. Not absolutely, but that he is more likely to go toward guys because he's not very good. That he's going to go toward the guys who are really good, who are making moves to get open. Like, you know, a guy who's more experienced, like Kirk Cousins, maybe he gets a new shiny toy and we don't know what to do with him. We ended up seeing that he got a new shiny toy. He kept going to Jefferson. But we've seen this in the past with a lot of quarterbacks. Matt Schaub used to do this. Sometimes he'd get a new shiny toy and he'd throw the third receiver 8 times in a game, and it was a little frustrating. But Aiden O'Connell, I think, I just get the feeling from the from what we saw of him, he kind of knows what he is, and he was just trying to go to Adams and Myers the whole time. And some checkdowns to Jacobs, like, you know, this, these are my 3 security blankies. If I'm going to get my 250 yards, I'm going to get it through these guys. That makes me feel, that gives me a sense of safety. I mean, 4,500 makes me feel really safe, but that's really what gives me the safety feeling.
I mean, that's the same thing with Derek Carr at 5,700.
Like, he knows where his
Derek
bread is buttered.
Right.
Derek Carr knows where his bread is buttered. That guy threw to a tight end 16 times in a game once. Or no, 24 times, right? Didn't he throw to Waller 24 times once in a game?
Yeah, I believe so for the Raiders.
I think Waller had 16 catches. Like, that's a guy who knows where his bread is buttered, and he's going to keep going back and back and back and back.
Right. He sees how the defense is set up and goes, oh, they're going to give me this 3-yard pass to Kamara like every time. So I'm going to look for Olave, first read, and then set my second read is, rush is coming. Give it to Kamara. Right. Let's like every play. Then every once in a while, he'll chuck the ball up to Rashid Shaheed. Right. So you get one of those 3 for 150 games that this past week. And then you do all of that. You play Carr, right? You play Carr, Kamara, Olave, or Shaheed. And you're like, wow, this is great. And then the Saints win 24-10. And Taysom Hill has 2 touchdowns. And you go, where did my points go? Like all these guys did well. Like, they didn't have, like, no snowflakes. But none of my guys have flame emojis because Taysom Hill just ruined everything. Right?
Yeah.
So that, to me, that's the downside with the Saints. And I think the Saints are going to be popular. I think Olave will still be popular, even if Kamara is popular. Like, I think if people don't look at, like, Kamara and go, well, if I don't play Kamara, you know what the leverage on Kamara is? Olave. And then Olave still comes in at 18% owned, right? Like, it'll be Kamara's that owned. Yeah. Like, and then they'll go, well, I could go to Shaheed then.
They play 2 different games. Like, you know, one's a center banging down low, the other one shooting threes, you know?
Right.
They play 2 completely different games and really don't negatively correlate with each other. Olave's going, he's running 9 routes. I mean, he has one of the highest ADOTs in the last couple of years. His average depth of target is ridiculous. So he's going to get his downfield, and then, like you said, when it's not there, it's going to go short to Kamara. I have a question for you. Do you mind moving on to Prize Picks for a sec?
Sure. Yeah. No, we can close out with Prize Picks. What do you got on Prize Picks?
I took a glance because I'm going to do my article today or tomorrow. Taysom Hill is a 0.5 passing yards. How do you approach something like that? Do you just ignore it, or?
I mean, what's the projection?
I haven't seen it yet. It wasn't popping up last time I looked. This is last night. That,
anytime it comes to props, you know me, I'm just like, look.
Oh, yeah, I am too.
But I mean, obviously, when you say half a passing, that means will he complete a pass? I mean, technically, yeah, he could complete a pass and have negative yards. I would just look at the projections. What do we got? Seriously, yeah, Taysom Hill here, 0.5. I think they had this last week also.
They had it for, I think, receiving yards last week.
I think it's much more likely he'll catches a pass than throws one. Or do you not think that?
I don't know. I'm very confused with this. It's kind of a curveball. So they've been throwing the Derek Carr. They're really fucking around with the Saints. They threw out Derek Carr 1.5 rushing yards and 0.5 rushing yards. And I hit the over on both of those, I think, because he got like 4. And they were kind of easy plays. But the Hill at 0.5 passing yards, like, I don't know. Do I just ignore it? It feels like something interesting to write about.
What are our current player projections say? I'm just going to bring it up.
Why don't you say like 1.24? It's going to bug me.
Right. It's probably going to be something like that, right? You go Taysom, search. No, we have him at 0.
I'm at 0. Okay.
We have him at no pass attempts, no couple. As of right now, obviously, this is good. Yeah, we have a 3.78 mean rush attempts, rush yards 24, receptions, mean receptions 2, receiving yards 16. So really, we have him as not even passing the ball at all.
Okay.
So if anything, if you went by this, you'd take the under. You take the less. The less than.
The less than.
The less
than. Yeah, say less than over unders.
Right, because Prize Picks is not sports betting. It's daily fantasy sports.
Daily fantasy sports. We make picks into contests.
Right, and we take cards and have project. These are projections, not prop numbers. So I was asking if the plugin is down. I don't think so. I think I just have to.
It wasn't working for me last night. I signed it in again. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it again. It'll give you the overlay of the projections over it. Maybe something's wrong with it. I don't know. I haven't looked. I signed in. I'm not getting it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not getting
it. I guess it's not. Okay.
I got to manually go back and forth like it's 2020. This is ridiculous.
We could load it in. There. You could grab this data, scrape it in into Excel. You want to do something fancy, right? You could do it.
That's some like pre-pandemic shit.
Well, say, hey, how else are you supposed to do it? So you got to do it some way.
I'm going to have to do it some way. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm probably just going to scrape it all.
Okay. So overview of the whole slate in general, it sucks, but it sucks for everyone.
I love when it sucks for everyone.
Right. You should love Understand this. That when people go, I don't like this slate. I don't want to play it. It's like, you realize we're playing the same, everyone's playing the same poker hand. You're getting dealt 9-6 offsuit and acting as if like, well, everyone else has kings. It's like, no, everyone else has 9-6 offsuit also. Like now
the analogy is probably, we're all playing the same board.
Right.
We might have different hands. You might play them different ways, but we're all playing the same flop, the same turn, the same river. And we make decisions based on those cards. There's a lot of decisions to make on this slate, but I think simplifying the decisions to letting the Sims make those decisions for us, because they're not easy decisions to hand build. It's not pretty shit. Like, this is not fun stuff right here. But I think working with the Sims, we can get some good exposures and have a lot of leverage. Like you said, the Millie winner coming out with 60% wouldn't surprise me at all, because ownership's going to get spread out, and I think it's going to coagulate towards some of the higher projections when people want to break away from or go overweight on what they think is a bad projected ownership.
Well, we'll take a look more at that on Friday. Squirrel Patrol will be on with some NFL GPP strategy for this slate. Tomorrow, TJ will be on. We'll be looking at the showdown slate, running some stuff through Sim Labs, both those shows. If you want to try this out, go to rotogrinders.com/simlabs. It is free right now for Thursday's night showdown, as well as Sunday's main slate for DraftKings. It is completely free. When it's not free anymore, that means it'll only be available for premium members. So click on that link in the description, get $10 off your first month. They are going to be adding FanDuel. They aren't going to be adding more sports. Remember, this is like, we're in the beta phase. I've been testing this out for a while, but NBA, we're going to be having this for NBA, FanDuel, and DraftKings, probably within the next month, right? Tennis, PGA, MMA, baseball, when that comes back, you know, more so in April. So, like, it's not just for DraftKings, NFL, Showdown, and Main Slate. It will be, everything's going to be rolled out over time, because we want to test, you know, got to test the loads. Right, we can't have like 8,000 sports going on, and then you go here and you press the button and you have to wait 47 minutes. The response time, Alex, is really quick.
Top notch. It's insane. This is really insane. I was building showdown lineups. I'm not even a multi-entry guy, but I built 20 lineups in like 10 seconds. It was incredible.
Right. I was testing out stuff for the main slate using like after the inactives. And just going, okay, let me run 50 that look like this, 50 that look like that, 50 that look like this, 50 that, and like, I'm getting 50 lineups in like 6 to 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. Like, exactly. And then I'm like, okay, include, exclude. Okay. Run that. Okay. Give me 50 lineups. Okay. Give me 50 lineups. Okay. Give me 50. It's just like, dude, I could run probably 50 sets of 150 in 20 minutes. I mean, like,
since 150, yeah.
right? After it's having the switch stuff. I mean, you saw how quick. I mean, look, I can put in like 20 for showdown tomorrow. Right now, like get lineups here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, there you go. 20 lineups. About 15 seconds for 20, depending on obviously combinations and stuff and what you put
well,
in.
Well, and it's a great sign. It's a great feature that when you exit out, you get a new lineup.
Right. So I don't want to play Derrick Henry in the captain. It's like, okay, well,
super fast, your, like right away.
Right. There you go. Right away. Right. You could exclude stuff. We'll talk. We'll look at this more tomorrow. So, Alex, you'll have you're going to have a Prize Picks article out?
Prize Picks article either today or tomorrow morning. FanDuel ownership will be Friday morning. And my single entry strategy will come out Friday night or Saturday morning.
Okay. And this is free or premium?
The single entry article is premium. The FanDuel ownership and the Prize Picks articles are free.
Okay.
Free content.
That's rotogrinders.com/NFL for that.
Yeah. And I'm not making picks. I'm just giving you some tidbits on ownership and Prize Picks. Like, who doesn't want that for free?
So go there, go check that out. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Give me those thummy thumbs. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Check out SimLabs. Check out everything. Send in your questions at theoryofdfs.com for the mailbag. I'll be on tomorrow with TJ to talk about the showdown slate, Titans versus Steelers, and
then
yeah, I know. Squirrel Patrol will be on Friday. We got Grinders Live later today. We got a NBA slate. We got NHL. Grinders Live later today. Crunch time. Swolecast. We got Swolecast going on in the afternoon. Hit that notification bell. You'll always know when we go live here on YouTube because that's what I do here. I mean, you see me all the time, right? We got some regulars here. You see me all the time. Weekdays, 11 o'clock Eastern. Talking about all things you're thinking about in daily fantasy, props, and pick 'em on Roto Grinders today.